everyone, and welcome to the final 2011 episode of Packer Transplants Live. I'm Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is my partner here at CheeseheadTV.com, Mr. Corey Banky. Directing our live blog tonight is the esteemed Brian Caravu. Joining us, as always, are Jamie Jors and John Rahor of Eat More Cheese, along with the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere. So, Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight? First, we have Rob Domofsky. And then?
Then we have the good, the bad, and the oh so ugly. We got the good. We got Double D, Donald Driver.
Came to play in possibly his last game as a Packer.
We got Desmond Bishop.
Making plays from the middle of the field.
Ryan Pickett.
Throwing it down in the middle of the defensive line.
And we got the bad. We got Aaron Rodgers.
First time in the bad category all season. Coincidence?
Charles Woodson.
Not looking so great in coverage. Not looking so good rushing the quarterback.
JerMichael Finley.
Dropping passes.
And we got the ugly. We got Charlie Peppra.
Charlie Peppra. Who the Packers have had to try to hide in coverage all season. And tried to hide in general all season. Poor Dom Capers exposed. The final game of the year. Mm. Not only in coverage, but in run support. In the play.
But we do have cheese curds.
We have cheese curds from Wisconsin here in the house.
It's not all doom and gloom here on Packer Transplants. It's a lot of technical difficulties.
A lot of technical difficulties.
You got to see me for a second.
Because that's what we do.
I was like, I'm live. What's happening?
So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us this evening.
Yes.
Or for listening to us later on the downloaded podcast. Here we are. Final episode of Packer Transplants. Sifting through the wreckage, if you will. Corey, how was your sojourn to Lambeau Field?
It was good. It was good. I had a lot of fun. A lot of people watching the show were probably there. Right. Saturday night tweet up at Stadium View. Got to meet Jerry Kramer's daughter.
Nice. You get to meet the man himself?
No, I've met him. I met him at Bart Starr.
It's old school for you.
Bart Starr's award. In the Super Bowl. See, I have my Super Bowl hat on, because guess what, everybody? Now, seriously, think about this.
I hear you. Lay it down.
We're still the Super Bowl champs, baby.
For another couple weeks.
3 weeks. But you know what? Now is the time to milk it.
That's true, for the next three weeks. Saying. Who's the defending champs?
The Green Bay Packers.
That is correct. And as your shirt.
There's nothing wrong with that. Super Bowl 1,
from
Super
1
Bowl 2.
To 45, Green Bay Packers.
There you go.
Sure, for another couple weeks. Anyway. So, here we are, the end of the season, flying without a script.
With a new Glarus, which you can only get in Wisconsin.
Corey came back fully stocked.
He's dude, I got cheese wurst. I got, I got two packs of bratwurst.
Oh, dear.
And you know I got the Usinger. Those were like some of my favorites, like my top three brats.
All right, so Corey, you were there. You were at the game. I was watching...
It's the
television.
Second time I've flown from New York, went to Lambeau Field, and we lost in a playoff game. To the Giants.
That's even worse.
Yay.
Living in New York.
Go me.
I have to say, though, I have gotten a ton of sympathy this week, whereas I thought I would get lots of hate and lots of
yesterday, when I came back from work to my New York office here at Livestream, beautiful Livestream Studios, thank you, Thomas and Tommy, for somewhat setting up the studio today.
Oh, dear.
I have the Philadelphia Eagles channel playing. You can't see it behind this poster, okay? And on that channel is the highlights of the New York Giants versus the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field on a loop.
That's not right.
It's awesome.
That's not right. That is not right.
Yay!
So, Corey, here's what I gotta say. I have to give some mad props to not only Packer fans, but people of Wisconsin, for this following story. A friend of my wife's went to Lambeau Field. First time ever. First pilgrimage to Lambeau. They are Giants fans. They have New Jersey plates on their car. As they were leaving the stadium, they thought, oh no, I've got Jersey plates. My car's going to be smashed in. There's going to be like a brick through my window.
I wouldn't be worried about that.
Et cetera. No, you wouldn't, because you know Green Bay and you know Lambeau. But they, you know, being from New York, if this was Jets fans at MetLife Stadium, all bets are off.
Or Giants fans, or Philly fans, or San Francisco 49er bandwagon fans.
So these guys get to their car.
Or Oakland Raider fans.
Get to their car, and this is no joke. They get to their car, and on the window, in the frost on the window, there is a smiley face with the words, "Congratulations, New York Giants." On the window. Packer fans are the best. Packer fans are the best.
You know who's not the best? Eli Manning throwing a Hail Mary at the end of the half. What kind of Madden junk was that?
That was Madden junk. That's the first thing I thought. That was like a play in Madden where you throw the controller and you call BS.
Like, dude, come on.
But wait, wait, wait. More than the final play of that half that went to the Hail Mary, more than that. The Hail Mary, fine, it happened. The play before the Hail Mary is the one that kills me. And I said this today on Twitter, and for all the nerds out there, I got to drop this. That play where Ahmad Bradshaw runs to his left and then cuts back all the way to the right and is running like literally almost 50 yards to the sideline and then gets out of bounds, but right before the Hail Mary. Charlie Peppra, this is the play that put him in the ugly for me. I'm like, he had a bad game, but this is the play that put him in the ugly. Charlie Peppra comes racing up and then goes, uh-oh. And then, like, goes to the side, like, can't catch the guy. And then he gets out of bounds after, like, a 20-yard game. But, like, as Charlie Peppra is running up to meet Bradshaw, all I could think of was that scene in Lord of the Rings in Two Towers when the Uruk-hai is running through the band of orcs with a big freaking torch to blow up the wall. And Aragorn looks at him and goes, Legolas, bring him down! Shoot him! Shoot him! And I'm just thinking, Peppra, tackle him! Tackle him for the love of God! And of course, Peppra doesn't.
No.
Bradshaw gets it. Because all he has to do is tackle him in bounds. If he tackles him in bounds, half over. It's 13-10 heading into half. Totally different ballgame. Totally different ballgame.
If wishes were trees, this world would not have so much carbon dioxide.
That play just gutted me. Gutted me.
Now, there were a lot of plays that were gutting. There was a lot of Madden going on. There was a lot of onside kicking. There was a lot of Packer sweep.
Okay, wait. All right.
Okay, so remember how the NFC Championship game 2007, right. Okay? Mm-hmm. What's the most memorable play of that game, even though we lost?
Donald Driver going 90 yards.
Donald Driver, I believe it was 92 yards, but I digress.
But you digress.
Okay, the best play for me,
right?
Okay, of this game,
okay,
was the Packers sweep, right side, first time, not the second time,
right.
In Lambeau,
right,
for a first down.
You mean the very first play of the game?
No.
The very first offensive play?
It was like the second or third quarter. It was the third quarter.
Right.
To ignite that entire drive.
Gotcha. All right. Because the first play, the first offensive play, Ryan Grant off the right sideline, he went like 19 yards. I thought, okay, here we go.
Totally.
Here's what I
didn't understand.
It wasn't
a true Packer sweep. Like, the third quarter was literally like guards pulling everything.
Yes.
It was the Packer sweep. It was how Lombardi drew it up in 1962.
Now, here's what I didn't understand.
Or
and you like the play calling and don't second guess it and yada yada. But here's what I didn't understand about the game plan. Because obviously part of the game plan for McCarthy was to run, was attempting to do like their ISO leads up the middle, their zone leads up the middle, when all day Grant had room outside. He kept making yards outside. Starks kept making yards outside.
Hmm.
But then every once in a while, McCarthy would call a play up the middle, and it would never, ever work.
Well, I mean, their inside pass rush is the key to the win of the entire game.
Here's the other thing. Now, you talk about the pass rush. Here's the other thing. A lot of the national media is talking about the front four of the Giants.
Why did you put Aaron Rodgers in the bad? Let's just slow down for a second.
Wait, whoa. Let me finish my point, and then we'll address that. How about that?
That's kind of rude, I think.
What are you talking
about?
He had a bad game.
Were you there? I don't think he did. I think receivers aren't getting open. Okay? And I think he actually had time to throw, and I don't think he had that bad of a game. I think he had a bad game for Aaron Rodgers, but I don't think he had a bad... Dude, how many first downs did he get with his feet? Think about it for a second.
How many insanely important plays did he miss? A, Greg Jennings wide open on the first offensive series on third down. Fast forward to the end of the game.
That's questioning.
JaMychal Finley wide open on a slant.
You're not going to see all your reads. That's life. That's life.
No, exactly. But if you are the Super Bowl MVP, the presumptive NFL MVP for 2011, you are the man. All anyone has talked about all year is how you are the best player in the NFL. I wrote an article about how he's the best player in the NFL. Joe Montana doesn't miss that throw. Tom Brady doesn't miss that throw. Johnny Unitas doesn't miss that
Tom
throw.
Tom Brady has missed Bart that show before.
Star Tom Brady doesn't miss that throw. That's all I'm saying. The greatest,
I wouldn't have put him
don't
in the
miss
bad.
Those throws.
I was at that game, and I wouldn't have put him in the bad. I know you see things. I know you watch it a bunch of times. I know you analyze it. But being at the game, I feel like he did a pretty amazing job considering the circumstances that he was dealt and receivers not getting open. Like,
there
if you have to look for your third and fourth read,
I agree with that.
The numbers don't add up. And so his number one and two read was not what he was
looking
for.
That's what I watched
do.
On the way to the show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Can we put this on camera?
Yes.
Can we put this, even though I'll probably get sued? Well, we'll get sued.
You have to turn
this
it.
This is what I watched on the way to the show tonight. This is all I've watched this week.
Oh, I know.
What's that? That's the game.
Whatever, dude.
Aaron Rodgers in the bag. I'm sorry.
50. I was on
okay,
the 50.
Here's the other thing. Here's the other thing.
When you're you on the 50, the Packers, there's a different perspective than anywhere else in the world.
Here's the other thing.
You know, you agree with that, so don't even try to not agree.
No, I do agree with that. It is a different perspective.
I'm not saying
that. Doesn't make it the only correct perspective.
No, I'm just saying
it is a different perspective.
Yes, it's different than watching
tape.
Here's
the other thing. Here's what's killing me. The Green Bay Press Gazette put up a poll today asking who's to blame. Who is to blame for the Packers losing to the Giants in the playoffs? Runaway winner. Runaway winner. No. Runaway winner.
I don't think JaMychal Finley. I just think that's who people would say.
Runaway winner. Mike McCarthy.
Oh, no way.
You gotta be kidding me,
no
people.
No way.
Packer fans, you are better than this. Come on.
No way.
Mike McCarthy? Are you serious?
No,
we have to get all this emotion out now before Rob comes
Although I do think that he got outplayed, not every quarter, but he got outplayed from...
You outcoached?
Yeah, as a coach, he got outplayed.
Okay, I see.
There's a mind game going on, and he lost that game for almost 2.5 quarters. And he didn't do what we thought. He didn't do four-step drops too much. And when he did, he had the time to throw. That's the weird thing.
In the first half, yeah, he definitely did. Because they were rushing four. And the offensive line held up. And that's what I was going to say before I was so
rudely. Dude, the Giants rushing four is like other teams rushing five.
Usually, yes. But on Sunday, they were rushing four in the first half. And they couldn't get home. The offensive line held up very well.
So what were you going to say before I so rudely
That was it. That was my point. That the
The
national media is making this whole big thing about the front four of the Giants. Ooh, but, you know, they didn't do anything. You know? They didn't get to Rodgers.
No, they didn't.
You know, the coverage helped. The coverage got to Rodgers. But the pass rush for the front four, the way they got to Rodgers was what you were never supposed to do. They blitzed Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
And they sacked him on the blitz, which you're never supposed to blitz Aaron Rodgers. Well, guess what? The Giants blitzed, and they got home. Mostly because guys were being covered. Although, and then when guys were open, like Greg Jennings on the double move, you know, Osayu Miura schools Chad Clifton inside, and that's the play. That's the play of the game. Because, if Rodgers hits Jennings on that touchdown, it's 2017. It's ball, game on.
Yeah.
But instead,
there were a lot of chances. But you know what? The turnovers can characteristic.
Well, that's the thing. That's what kills me about it's McCarthy's fault. Blaming Mike McCarthy.
Wow.
Give me a break. Mike McCarthy didn't fumble the ball.
Key points
Mike
in the
McCarthy
game.
Mike McCarthy didn't drop the ball.
At key points in the game, and I know in a playoff game, pretty much every minute, every second is a key point in the game.
Let's hit this for a second. Did you leave before the end of the game?
No, I know, but that people did.
Oh,
people
I
that,
know.
People that
it's
people
been well
that
documented.
I consider diehard Packer fans left. Let me tell you, I have been okay. First off,
that's
I have been to more Packer games at Lambeau Field where we have lost than games where we have won.
Because you went to games in the 80s.
Yes, and
in the early 90s.
Yes, exactly. Yes. 15 years. So that's half my life, right? Mm-hmm. Not only that, but, you know, you just, every season you're going to lose games. It's just,
yeah,
and we're behind the Bears. We're still behind the Bears historically
all the time. But here's the thing. If I go to a Packer game, I stay to the bitter end. I stay, no matter what the score is.
I've never left, and I
will never leave. As long as there are Packer players and Packer personnel on the field.
Let me say this.
I will never leave.
I'll one-up you. I've never left, and I've never went to the bathroom.
During this play, the only time I go to the bathroom is at halftime.
Nope, not even at halftime.
That's it.
Nope.
That's the only time I can
My grandfather taught me, and they're his seats.
Yes.
He was like, don't drink, don't do anything, pee before you get in the game.
There you go.
And you can make it.
This is the kind of knowledge we drop here at Packer Transplants, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm serious.
I know you are. I've never missed a snap at a game I've seen live. Are you crazy?
But if you go at halftime, you'll miss, though. If you go at halftime, you'll miss.
I never have. But I understand what you're saying.
You saw the first play on the
I didn't see nothing. I saw every play from my seat.
Whatever, Nagler.
Don't even talk to me. Don't even talk to me right now.
You need to eat a cheese curd, son.
You do. All right, I do. That is what I'm talking about.
You get the two-tone cheese
curd.
All
right, so let's look. Okay, we've rehashed the Giants enough.
Yeah.
We got about 10 minutes.
We're still the Super Bowl champs, people.
For another 3 weeks. Damn it.
We are still the Super Bowl champs.
We've talked Giants. We've talked the letdown. We've talked all the problems.
Let's talk about,
let's talk about the offseason. Going forward. Now here's the thing. Greg Rosenthal from Pro Football Talk put this out here today about how the Packers won a year early last year, where they were on schedule to win next year, which is actually what I wrote prior to this, or the last season. I thought they wouldn't win last year, they would win this year. Then they won last year, and they didn't win this year. But, and I said to Greg, I think this Packers team will be like the early 2000s Pats, where they win it. Well, no one expected them to.
Mm-hmm.
And the next year, they missed the playoffs, where the Packers made the playoffs, but they lost in the first game. Now they're going to come back in the next two seasons and win the next two. Now, I don't know if they're going to win the next two, but I think the Packers are definitely in the mix for the next couple years. And here's the thing. Here's what drives me nuts. That Packer fans
more than
like,
a couple years.
No, exactly. Well, yeah, the window's wide open.
A couple years is two.
As I wrote on
more
Monday.
More than a couple years.
As I wrote on Monday. The championship window for this team remains wide open and will remain wide open as long as Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers are in town and running things.
Yeah. I mean, they don't have that many. Like, if you take a good safety, you know, take a real cornerback. Charles Woodson had a terrible game.
I know. That's why I put him in the bag.
I don't need to watch that game more than once to know. There was one play where they scored a touchdown. He literally backed up. Went over there. There was no one there. Like, he was clearly playing a zone, and he had no concept of, like, what was actually happening on the field. He was just lost in, like, whatever they were trying to run.
Right.
It was pathetic.
Well, here's the thing.
It was pathetic.
Going forward, the Packers, yes, they need, obviously, to improve on the defensive side of the ball. I think we can all agree on that.
But not Tremont, though.
Tremont can improve his play.
Yes, but if he knows...
He
took a step back because Nick Collins was injured this year.
That's part of it.
And they found nobody to insert themselves. If you watch, go back. I've said this on many shows on this very broadcast.
On this channel here.
And watch the entire season back-to-back of Leroy Butler videos. And I know he was a safety, one of the best that's ever played for the Packer. But almost every one of his X's and O's...
Right.
Has something to do with the fact that Nick Collins is no longer a Packer.
I agree. I totally agree.
And that affects Tremont. I'm not trying to justify Tremont.
What's funny is that I got into a back and forth with someone tonight on Twitter about this very subject, saying that, as per Pro Football Focus, Tremont gave up the most yardage of any corner in the NFL this year.
Whatever.
Wait.
Whatever.
That may be true. But let me lay something down
here.
We
gave the most yardage as a team.
Okay, exactly. But let me lay this down here. So many people, and this is the advent of the fan, and we're part of it. We are fans. We're not experts. We don't play football. We don't coach football.
Nope.
We love football.
I have a website.
We run a website. But here's the thing. Fans have glommed on to Football Outsiders and Pro Football Focus and their numbers and their metrics. And they think, okay, well, here's what it says on these websites. This is the truth. This is the God's truth. This is the gospel.
That's like reading Aaron Nagler's blogs.
Thank you.
Saying the same thing.
Exactly. It's not. I give my opinion about what I see on the field.
No, I'm just
That's
kidding.
Different.
I just like giving you a hard time. This is the last season, this is the last show of the year. I can't give you a hard
so
time.
So here's the thing. Well, let me finish my point.
I'm sorry.
Damn it. Here's the thing. People look at Pro Football Focus and Football Outsiders and they say, well, they graded it XYZ. This is the truth. People, it's a pixel in the greater picture.
Yeah, it's a pixel.
That's what it is.
Wow.
You, Tremont Williams gave up the most yardage? That's great. How many of those plays was he expecting safety help? Go look at the film.
Yeah,
and how many times was he looking behind him, looking for a safety, looking for someone, expecting someone over the top?
It's true.
You just can't do that, people. Be smarter than that. That's what drives me insane. Well, this number says this. This metric says that. What does the film say? Look at the film.
Oh, yeah.
Drives me to no end.
I can't believe you're defending Tremont. And next, you're going to defend Jared Bush.
What are you talking about?
Next, he's going to defend Jared Bush, who you did agree was... Okay, Jared
Bush...
The
most improved defensive player
Another
on the team.
One of my favorite moments in that game was B.J. Raji pushing Jared Bush and being like, dude, stop it. And he just went like that, but Jared Bush just went like flying, dude. It was hilarious. Jared Bush was like all up in dudes' faces, being like, Jared Bush,
yeah, that
what
was
is
his,
wrong with
that
you?
That was his later year thing. The worst was...
You're not tough, Jared Bush.
The worst was against the Lions.
Probably against me, you are.
But no, he was. He got all lippy at the end of the year. And it's like, dude, you're still Jared Bush. Let's just chill.
And I'm sorry. The Packers did not get redemption in this game against the Giants for playoffs against the Giants at Lambeau. So we're double redemption now. Which, if you're a diehard Packer fan like ourselves, you understand that the Packers have a lot of double, triple, quadruple, multiple redemptions going on. Oh, we get a double redemption, and Jared Bush has a double redemption going on.
Because he didn't fall on the ball in 2007, and he didn't knock the Hail Mary down in 2012.
If he would have knocked that Hail Mary down, that would
have been a redemption. It would have been absolute redemption for not falling on the ball in 2007.
I didn't even think
about that. But instead, he done dump again. And now he's set to be a free agent, and he's probably going to walk.
Please let him go.
It's too expensive.
Just let him go, though. I don't think he's that good.
He's improved, but you're right.
We need another Tremont. We need a good safety. We need a defensive tackle.
We need a defensive end.
There
you go. More than anything else, the Packers need a defensive end. Because the downfall of this team, of this defense, was the pass rush or lack thereof.
No doubt.
You can talk about Tremont Williams giving up yardage. You can talk about the defensive backs playing 10 yards off the ball. You can talk about the suspect safety play. All of that is true. But none of that matters a lick if the quarterback is on his back, of which the Packers could not produce at all this season. That's it. That's the truth. You can argue numbers all you want. The number one factor with the defense is their inability to get to the quarterback. And what's great is that Kevin Green was actually quoted as saying, we need someone outside opposite of Clay Matthews. His position coach, the outside linebacker position coach, said, we need someone outside opposite of Clay Matthews. If we had the guy here, he would have shown up this year.
It's true. I got nothing to say to
that. It's the truth. If you're auditioning guys in week 17, you don't have anybody.
No.
You don't have anybody.
They were putting a lot on Mike Neal.
Well, that's all.
That happened. Not.
I like Mike Neal. And I think he looked better in this game against the Giants than he has all year, but they cannot count on him heading into 2012. All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, we'll be on the line with Mr. Rob Demoski from the Green Bay Press Gazette. You're watching and listening to Packer Transplants Live here at CheeseheadTV.com. And with Mr. Rob Demoski, Packer beat writer with the Green Bay Press Gazette. Rob, how are you tonight?
Aaron, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. I know it's a busy time, end of the year, you're wrapping everything up. Let's start with the obvious. Let's talk about everybody's got to sift through the loss to the Giants there at Lambeau. How surprised were you? I mean, I know a lot of people heading into that game were, a lot of the national media was starting to pick the Giants heading into Sunday, but... I was of the opinion that the Packers would come out and, like, have a great showing and, not put them away, but I thought they would handle them.
I picked 34-24 Packers. I knew that, you know, we all knew the defensive liabilities and limitations that they had all season.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought the offense was just so good that they would overcome it, and which is what they did for 15 games.
Right.
And that's the part that was so surprising to me. It is, you know, the quarterback wasn't sharp or as decisive. The receivers dropped, you know, I mean, I guess we're going with six.
Wait, did you have six drops, or is that what you're taking from other people?
No, that's what we're – I think we decided between Pete, Mike, Kareem, and I think that's what we've come up with.
Right.
So that would include the zone pass to Jennings.
You mentioned Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback, not being as sharp. Did you think he was playing a little, conservative, scared?
Skittish?
Thought
skittish.
Skittish, yeah, that's a good word for it.
You know, and I'm doing my postseason grades here, and obviously his regular season was an A, but these are full season grades, and unfortunately, he's going to win the MVP, and he's probably going to get an A-. You know? He's not going to get an A. An A-.
Right.
Kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, looking the rest of the season – and I did a whole post about this after the Vikings game, the one in Minnesota, where he was unafraid to throw into really tight windows. I mean, just lasered it in there to Jennings on a couple of occasions, Finley a number of times. And then on Sunday, it was, and I understand that they were playing two deep safeties, they were playing man under, so, but, you know, a lot of those windows present themselves where guys are, you know, they're not open, but they're open for NFL. You know,
well, that's what he, you know what he did during the regular season? He threw guys open.
Right.
You know, and now he didn't do that at all, I don't think, in the 26 completions or whatever it was that he had. I don't know that he threw very many guys open.
Yeah. No. Well, flipping it around to the defensive side of the ball, I mean, obviously they missed Bauju. Oh, I mean, I'm sorry. Obviously they missed Nick Collins.
What are we back? Is this welcome to 2001? Where
it's
did you
your,
come
it's up? Your boy. Ever since you dropped the Bauju reference,
that's right.
Yeah. Last year, we gotta throw in Bauju every time you're on the show. So they obviously missed Nick Collins. A lot of noise today about Cullen Jenkins being missed. And it's interesting, Cullen Jenkins talking to Wildy about how, hey, you know, no one was talking about how they missed me during the offseason. But after they lost to the Giants, everybody's talking about how much they missed me. Do you think they missed Jenkins more or Collins more this year?
I guess I'm going to say Nick Collins. They just said, I think the safety problems were their failure all season.
Right.
Their pass rush stunk. I mean, Jenkins had, what, 7 sacks in 11 games during the regular season last year?
Mm-hmm.
According to Wildy, he's tweeting that I sound like Charlie Brown's teacher, by the way.
Oh, awesome.
I think the sound's not that good. Sorry, Robin.
Well, I hope I sound better than that. But the safety issues were, I think that was the ultimate downfall of this defense. Especially, you know, in the playoff game, Charlie Pepper misses the tackle on the play right before the Hail Mary and then doesn't play the Hail Mary well.
Right. I mean, and I just went off on that play where he misses Bradshaw prior to the half. Do you think, I mean, obviously we don't know about Nick Collins. We won't know anything until March when he's had his visit with the specialist. A lot of, a lot of ink or pixels being spilled about Charles Woodson being moved to safety, but I don't think that's a realistic proposition.
I don't either.
What do you think they do there, though? I mean, I highly doubt Nick Collins is back. Morgan Burnett looked much better on Sunday, but they can't go into the season with Burnett and Pepra, can they?
Absolutely not. I don't think Pepra's even – I don't even think he comes to camp next year. I guess maybe they bring him to camp, but I don't – there's no way he's on the 53. So I guess they're going to have to draft someone. They'll draft a safety, I don't know, take one at 28, but I don't know. That's a great question. And that's something certainly that we'll have to ponder here between now and the start of free agency. I still wonder. I know free agency doesn't exist in their world, but I wonder if this year it's going to have to.
Well, it's interesting because Mike McCarthy today, when he was asked about the offseason, he started pontificating about, you know, improving from within. We're going to have a great, we're going to have a draft class. And then he just kind of like dismissively talked about free agency.
Yeah.
It just makes you think that, you know, it's going to be business as usual. I mean, I understand what you're saying about, you got to think, can you really fill every hole with the draft and improvement from within? And you got to think that if somebody like Jim Leonard is available, you know, a couple weeks into the season, they're never going to jump on somebody the first week of free agency. But, you know, Thompson has beefed up the defense before with Pickett and Woodson. Do you think he could maybe wait something out and dive in 3-4 weeks into, you know, free agency?
Yeah, that'll be the, you're right. He's not going to go out. I mean, Pickett was a first day signing, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
It was a couple days in, but it was the first week.
Yeah. But actually, I think Marquand Manuel was the first one, which is
it was. That's right.
But I would say that, you know, you got to. You mentioned Jim Leonard, and there's no knock on Jim Leonard, but you need. I think they need someone with speed and range, which is what Pepper lacked. You know, they had a smart guy who knew how to get lined up and all that, and that didn't do him any good.
Right. Right.
I don't mean to spend, you know, our whole 15 minutes here banging on Charlie Pepper.
No, I understand. So let's bang on somebody else. Let's talk about let's talk about Chad Clifton. Do you think he's played his last snap as a Packer?
Yes. He was benched in that game. I don't care what anybody says. He was not on a snap count. If he was on a snap count, he had not reached his snap limit.
I could not agree more. Let's find somebody.
I know that for a fact.
Oh, that he was benched.
Yes, but he was not. They decided that after the and you know, I thought that sack actually was more on Lang, but after talking to the coaches, it sounds like it was more on Clifton. And after that, they had kind of made their decision.
Breaking news: Clifton benched. Nice. All right, so let's find something we don't agree on. What about Driver? Has he played his last snap as a Packer?
Yes, done.
See, agree.
Wow.
We're agreeing.
As our part-time columnist, contributor, Hall of Fame voter extraordinaire Cliff Crystal said so eloquently in his analysis on Monday, you know, while they played Driver, Randall Cobb was rotting on the bench. Well, you still don't like the insiders, right? Maybe next year in New Orleans. The finale was posted about 3 hours ago, so yeah. It's like a hybrid of a best of slash, you know, what happened in the last week, so I think you'll enjoy it. I am starting to think that Philbin's going to be gone just based on who the three finalists, if those are indeed the three finalists in Miami. I mean, if you were looking at those three, you'd hire Philbin in a heartbeat. Now, clearly, you know, my question was, is he ready for it based on, you know, what happened to him with his son and everything? But it sounds, if he's going through this interview or second interview, then, yeah, I guess he's ready for it. I'm still not 100% convinced of Winston Moss to Oakland. It's more of a gut feeling, I guess, than anything else.
Well, what keeps to me is the thing that leaked out after he interviewed with the Rams, where he had said,
didn't go well.
Where it didn't go well, and he said essentially, I would be more of a delegator.
Yeah,
you don't want that from your head coach. So I don't know, maybe he's learned his lesson, and Reggie knows him well. So,
right. Yeah, we'll see. But I'm not going to the ticket window, to the betting window on that.
All right. Well, so, coming up, you know, you got draft coverage, obviously after this all goes out the window, 2011 done, over with. McCarthy put a stamp on it today in his press conference. Do you think Finley is back next year?
You know, after I thought he would be back, you know, via the tag anyway.
And after the way McCarthy spoke optimistically and glowingly about him, right. I'm even more convinced that he will be back, you know, certainly at least in the franchise tag capacity. If not, you know, maybe there is a...
Outright signing.
I think Scott Wells is back.
There you go. Do you think so? That's interesting. I don't know. I don't know about Scott Wells.
I think he's back because the quarterback
likes him so much. Right.
Yeah. They have no heir apparent, although right. Samson, Genus, or Genus, they think they really like him, but he's not ready to play next year.
Right.
So I think Wells is back on maybe like a three-year type of deal.
You definitely got to hope so. I mean, there are any number of instances this year where teams are ready to blitz the Packers, and yep. he absolutely takes it out, you know, takes it upon yep. himself, calls the protection. And
he was their best offensive lineman then all year. I mean, I'm not saying that Josh Sitton isn't their best guy, you know, talent-wise,
yes.
potential, but Scott had the best year.
I agree. And I think, you know, Bulaga was close behind, for the injury. Yeah.
And maybe the most improved player on the team.
There you
we
go.
We can't
That's
disagree
good to hear,
about
That's
anything
good.
Today.
Bulaga.
All right.
It's good to know.
Well, Rob.
Prediction for 2012.
There you go.
Now, Corey, that is hard. I don't know if you remember. If you read our predictions from September, whatever it was, 4th, and then noticed the blog post that Mike Vandermouse did where he went back and looked at all of our staff picks, and he noted that I got only 2 of the 8 division winners correct and then told me not to quit my day job. And I told him, I thought this is my day job.
No, oh, so, snap.
There you go.
So I am the wrong guy to be asking for.
Who did come you, on, 16 and 0, just
who did,
say
who did you have in the Super Bowl this year?
I had the Falcons and the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
What?
I had the Falcons beating the Packers in the NFC Championship game.
All right. Well, hey, at least they both made the playoffs. So that's yeah. as yep. far as the Falcons.
I also had the Rams and Colts winning their division.
Well, I had the Packers and the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I'm half alive. Rob Domofsky, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com.
Legend.
Legend for joining us
Was
tonight.
That the tweet up Saturday night? Because he is a Green Bay legend.
It was good
legend.
To see you.
You too. You too, bro. Always.
We'll see you at the Combine, and thanks so much for joining us tonight.
You'll probably see Pete and Kareem at the Combine. That's my domain is the owner's meeting. So.
Lucky for you. You go to the cushy hotel.
I get to go to the swanky nice. Ones. Yeah, that's pretty nice. And watch the billionaire NFL owners just overindulge in
nice.
Many, many things.
Nice. Although, you know, they're so squeezed, they had to have a lockout. All right. Thank you so much, Rob. Have a great day.
All right. Next time we'll do it for longer, but I got to get back to these grades.
Grade them away, buddy. We can't wait to read them.
We'll see you guys.
Have a great night.
Bye.
Rob Domofsky.
There you
audio
go.
Issues and all. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank
yeah.
you, everyone.
I don't think I was listening to the end-to-end, and I don't think he sounded like Charlie Brown's teacher.
Well, barely on Jason Wilde's computer he does. What are you going
to
do?
Wilde just wants something to you know, say something about. It's fine. It's fine.
No comment. So, Corey.
Yes.
Talking about predictions. What's your prediction for the Packers next year?
This is my prediction.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
Da, 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 yeah, baby. That's the song right there.
There it is. This week in the Packers blogosphere. I hate to do it. I hate to cite the same blog 2 weeks in a row, but I've got to do it. If you haven't checked out Adam's post over at Jersey Al's Packers website, I believe it's called allgreenbaypackers.com or jerseyalsgbp.com or whatever it is, throw it up on the live blog here. Adam has a fantastic breakdown of Dom Capers. How he comes out of the gate roaring as a defensive coordinator, and then his defenses tend to drop off. Will the same thing happen here in Green Bay? Check out Adam's post.
This
I'm telling you.
Week in the Packer blogosphere. Well, I should say this.
Last year in
no,
the Packers blogosphere.
A year and a half ago, okay? You need to read this little blurb because I like this.
Oh, dear.
We, Cheesehead TV in the blogosphere.
We were totally unaware of this, and Corey's aunt?
My aunt, yeah.
Your
yeah,
aunt
yeah.
Gave him this while he was in Green Bay.
Needs a nagel.
We didn't know this. We didn't know this.
We didn't know, so now everybody
else. So this is a year and a half later. Could it really be possible? This is Milwaukee Magazine, by the way. At their end of the year awards.
I just think the last sentence is hilarious.
The end of the year awards. Could it really be possible that the best non-traditional source for Packers news on the internet is run by, gasp, New Yorkers? Sadly, it's true. Aaron Nagler and Corey Behnke, who started CheeseheadTV.com in 2007, currently call the Big Apple home. But rest assured, their hearts are firmly entrenched in Packerland.
No.
After all, they were born and raised in Appleton and Green Bay, respectively.
There you go.
With a no BS attitude, I like that, the Cheesehead TV crew offers sharp commentary and astute analysis on all things Packers related. They also cover those other 31 teams, not that we care much about them.
Yeah, so I guess we didn't get Best in Milwaukee 2011.
2011, not so much. I'd love to know who won the 2011 Best Packers blog.
So
let me tell you this. Last year, we were the bomb. This year.
Now we're really popular in Brazil.
This year, not so much.
So another thing to help Packer fans put life in perspective.
Yes.
I got this for Christmas. I talked to Aaron about it. I couldn't find it. So it's a letter Bart Starr wrote my grandfather because, like, 20 years ago he sent him a letter talking about how he was his favorite player, et cetera, et cetera. So Bart Starr, being the gracious man he is, in 2004 finally gave my grandfather, well, not finally, like, graciously gave my grandfather an autographed picture with his name and a letter saying, I'm sorry, and I finally get to stuff. Bart Starr is a legend and an amazing quarterback.
It's true.
I know that was Little American Pickers, but...
Hey, if you have not checked out the book, America's Quarterback, on Bart Starr, check it out. Fantastic book. Cannot recommend it enough. I had a couple of people ask me about it this week. It is such an amazing book. A really exemplary look into Bart Starr's life and his time as quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. He's just not talked about as one of the great quarterbacks in the NFL.
No.
And he should be. Because he was.
Well, and he is.
Is and will always be.
He's a legend.
So Corey Behnke.
Yes.
9 minutes to go. Anything you need to rant about?
Nope.
No! Come on. How about this? Jamal Williams took a big step back this year.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
He didn't.
He did.
We already talked about it. He didn't.
Yeah, we did, but you didn't. You dismissed it out of hand, but you didn't acknowledge the fact that he took a big step back.
Because he didn't. I don't agree with you.
He did.
I need to give a shout out to Andrew in Atlanta. Kyle Cousineau.
Right.
Wally Pingle. Who else?
Who else?
I had a good time Saturday night. I more want to talk about Cheesehead TV taking the next step of, you know.
True.
Getting people together. Twitter has been amazing. Social media has been amazing. This show wouldn't have existed without social media. So it was a pretty amazing year. Throwback weekend and now Throwdown weekend.
Alex Talish was a big part of it.
Alex Talish, always.
Throwdown
always.
Weekend.
Jamie Jors. She wasn't there, but she was there in spirit.
She was there in spirit. Next year, ladies and gentlemen, lots of stuff in
Robert store. Hammond.
Here at Cheesehead TV.
Cheesehead TV Draft Guide.
Check it out, people.
Coming out.
Coming in March, the Cheesehead TV Draft Guide 2012, which, and this is true, may I just say, the 2011 version, one of the Green Bay Packers staff.
That's true.
Who is up for a head coaching position in the NFL?
I saved that tweet on my favorites.
Very impressed. Very impressed by the Cheesehead TV.
So here comes version two. We're going to have, and some new changes on Cheesehead TV. I can't announce anything, but.
Very exciting.
If you come to Cheesehead TV in the next 2 months and all of a sudden something's changed, don't say I didn't warn you.
Okay? Yes, it will be. A little different. It'll be awesome. And it'll be Packer-centric, just like everything else we do here at CheeseheadTV.com. Because we are truly about and for and devoted to Green Bay Packer fans worldwide. Including one Mr. Jason J. Wilde. Even though he's not a Packer fan.
He's not a Packer fan. Okay, people, he's not a Packer fan. Oh, can we talk about social media?
Yes.
I have made a milestone in my life. Uh-oh. I know I don't have 7,000 Twitter followers like some people in the world.
Yeah, well, whatever.
I have my first official troll on Twitter, And I'm very proud of that.
It's a big day for you. It's a big day.
I didn't show you all the at
mentions.
No, no. You know you have a troll when you have 8 at mentions talking about what you said on this show, because I said that the Green Bay Packers would blow out the Giants, and clearly they did not.
No, they didn't.
And, you know, Matt Trix of the Kennedys, who performed at Stadium View.
I heard it was awesome.
He even said, I don't even know when you said, like, the Packers weren't going to win. So that's kind of my MO. So I'm sorry that I said the Packers are going to win, even though I always say the Packers are going to win.
Don't be sorry.
No.
This is the way it is.
But I have a troll. So
I will say, I had a Niners fan.
I have my own little troll.
I had a Niners fan tweet me today. Are you still tweeting? Yes. Dude, as I said, the Packers championship.
Is Aaron Nagler still tweeting?
The Packers championship window is wide open. Wide open.
Oh, yeah.
Ted Thompson has some difficult choices to make this offseason, as we all know.
Dude, 15-1, come on.
That's the other thing. 15-1. Go 15-1 in the regular season. You've got a pretty good football team.
Yeah.
What I hate are the haters. What I hate
There's a lot
are the
of
people
them.
Who want Mike McCarthy fired or Dom Capers fired. Dom Capers doesn't need to be fired, people.
Those are
he needs a defensive end.
Those are the same people that
safety.
Said FireTedThompson.com.
Exactly. And what did he have to do? He had to shut down. Shut down. Day after the Super Bowl. What did FireTedThompson.com say? It said, sorry, Ted.
That's funny.
And that's what everyone's going to say. There's going to be FireDomCapers.com. Next year after the Super Bowl, it's going to say, sorry, Dom. I think that's a good note to leave it on, don't you?
I think it's a really good note. Thank you for everybody who, this is their, this is number 99.
Number 99.
We started this show as a podcast. we really believe 10 people were watching it, and now we've gotten to 99. This includes podcasts. We were going to get to 100.
We really thought this was going to be 100.
Or that at least this season.
This season was going to be 100.
The draft guide episode will be number 100.
Transplants number 100.
And we'll probably have a mystery guest.
Mystery guest or two.
Or two or three.
We'll see. But I will be reporting from the Combine along with Brian Caravu and probably Andrew Garda as well. So make sure you stick around for all of that during the offseason. All the latest machinations from 1265 Lombardi. Everything going on. Anything having to do with the Packers, check out CheeseheadTV.com. We will be here throughout the offseason, through the Combine, through all the draft process leading up to the draft. I will be there at Radio City Music Hall. Corey will cover everything else going on at Lambeau along with Brian Caravu. Make sure you stick here throughout the offseason for all your Packers news. For Corey, I'm Aaron. Packer Transplants live here at CheeseheadTV.com. See you soon.